Do it again.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world.
You're listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
Hey girl, a martini, shaken, not stirred.
Don't try and church it up, son.
You can't handle the truth.
I am big. The picture that got small.
Your first one's on us.
Guys, it's Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling with Mark Rigadonna,
Richie Byrne,
the prima donna,
Rigadonna and the prima donna,
and your producer, Soul Joel.
Soul Joel. So tonight we had a great night. Yes,
we're gonna start a new format.
So do you want to kick us off?
We're both gonna open it with Here's what we're doing.
I'm gonna start it with gulp.
Because the name of the show is Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling, I feel we should always open the show with a drink.
Well, we normally do. We just never talk about it.
We normally do. We just never talk about it. And then go into a joke. I will tell a street joke. Yeah, and for those of you who don't understand, a street joke is a joke you've probably heard. It's not something we wrote. And then we get into our stories. Yeah. I think it's the new format. I think it makes sense. The drink we're going to talk about tonight, very quickly, is we just came from a friend's house, had a lovely dinner.
We had an amazing dinner.
Yes.
And filet, potato, some mushrooms.
The stuffed mushrooms were unbelievable. Our friend
Joel helped himself to before anyone else.
I got to tell that story. Our friend, a great friend, Chuck Gill, who played.
Shout out to Chuck.
Shout out to Chuck Gill, who played Santa.
With the Philly Pops.
With the I wasn't going to go there because it's all about us. He also played Santa in our Elf on the Shelf video that, if you haven't seen it,
Soul Joel TV,
Elf on a Shelf. This probably won't air for about 3 weeks, so it'll be mid-January, but you'll get back in the... If you're missing Christmas,
go to
Soul Joel TV and bring it back to you.
Absolutely.
It's Elf on a Shelf. It's a very funny sketch that we did. So we were at Chuck's tonight.
Well, but we were at Chuck's 2 weeks ago preparing our appearance on Dina Blizzard's show.
Yes.
Shout out to Dina Blizzard.
This is really where the story starts.
So what
happened
was, right, Joel and I were at Chuck's house 2 weeks ago. We were preparing it. We did Dina Blizzard's. What's the matter?
Oh, God.
Did he fart?
I think so.
Right. Why do you guys assume just because I laugh?
Because we know your humor. So, by the way, it's 1:45 in the morning. That's why we're talking about this. And we've had a few. Anyway, so Joel and I went to Chuck's to record a music bit that Mark and I did
on
Dina Blizzard's Facebook Live show, which was tremendous.
Tipsy Tuesdays.
It's such a good show.
Shout out to Dina.
Shout out to Dina. We're hoping to have Dina on the show. We're hoping. We're working on it. We love Dina. And so we had to record this song. We had to record music. And we went to Chuck's. Chuck's got a great studio.
A beautiful studio.
And then after we finished recording, I said to Joel, let's go get a drink.
No,
it's not like me. I was in the mood.
Wow.
You know me.
I was going to say, Richie, I don't take you as a drinker.
And yeah, no. So we went. Chuck said, why would you guys go out when I have a bar downstairs? And we went down to his basement.
Oh, my God. It's Santa's little cove.
Yes, it was
Santa's cove. So beautiful.
Perfect.
It's what you would expect if you went to Santa's house.
It is.
There's cookies on a little tray.
But it has a stove, for heating.
Oh, it's so nice.
What do you call it?
Black.
Oh, a wood-burning stove.
Wood-burning. Thank you. So we're really off the beaten path here.
No,
so what happened was we went down and Chuck has an amazing little bar,
yeah,
and he has
beautiful,
all
imported from France.
Imported from France and Malaysia.
Not the chairs.
The chairs are from Malaysia. But Joel had a Macallan Scotch, and for those of you who know Scotch,
Chuck had it.
I said Joel. Chuck.
Yeah, it's fine. That's my contribution. Good night.
He's jumping in.
So Chuck had Macallan Scotch, and I like a little Macallan's. He didn't have a lot left, so I finished it. I polished it up.
Like a gentleman.
He didn't even pour it in a glass.
He didn't have a lot left. It was just a bottle and a half.
Right.
So we went to Chuck's tonight for dinner, And we were going to bring him wine, which we did. No one opened.
A nice Chianti.
Nice Chianti that he never opened.
I brought some homemade Kahlua. Hand-painted by Mama Riccadonna. Shout out to Mama Riccadonna.
Yeah, Mama Riccadonna made it. Was beautiful Kahlua.
It was great.
I don't think the... He asked us if we wanted wine. I don't think the wine fit.
He didn't get into the wine.
Listen, we were drinking scotch. Who needs wine when
you're
drinking
scotch? But I showed
up.
Right. I said, I want to get Chuck a bottle of Macallan's because I finished the Macallan's off.
Because he chugged it like a fucking pig.
So... Remember, it's about 10 to 2 in the morning, people. Sorry for the... So I went out. I didn't get him the normal Macallan's, just a regular 12-year or 15-year. I went out. I found this 10-year-old wood scotch whiskey. Ooh. And I bought it, and we went to Chuck's, and he had those unbelievable glasses with
the giant glass.
And the big ball of ice. Now, normally, I don't like Macallan's.
It looked like a Death Star ice cube.
It did, yes. You know the new ice cubes? But he had gone to those lengths, and I said, okay. And we drank. He poured us a glass of the 10-year-old wood scotch Macallan's whiskey, scotch whiskey. And how good was it?
You know, I'm not really a whiskey guy.
It's scotch, though. Scotch.
Okay, I'm not really a scotch guy either.
I'm not a whiskey guy.
I'm a scotch guy, which is weird.
And I
like
enjoyed
whiskey.
It was good.
I love whiskey.
It was smooth. But the funny thing is,
scotch is like, it's to me, it's like scotch is a little bit different than whiskey.
It is.
Where it's like,
it's smoother.
If I drink scotch, I only want like one or two.
Yeah.
If I drink whiskey, just ask the Syracuse Funny Bones. I like about 15 doubles.
Shout out to Syracuse.
Shout out to the Funny Bone.
So here's the problem, people.
Richie chugged it fucking pig.
There's not much 10-year-old Macallan's wood scotch whiskey left at Chuck's house. So that's the problem. And I'd like to know, is it wrong to bring a liquor
and then drink it down to where it left?
You know what you could do? You could let us know by liking our Facebook page.
Yes, like our and tell us what you think. And he was very excited, by the way.
He enjoyed it. I don't think he cared drank it all like a fucking pig.
No. Well, I mean, how many times? How many?
Betting I'm going to say three more.
We didn't notice until Chuck poured another round and then turned the bottle so that we could see where the level was.
And it was gone.
And he kind of looked at us like,
it's gone, boys. It's gone. So we drank. So if you're a scotch drinker, I'm sure you know Macallan's. Go out and try this Macallan's 10-year-old wood scotch whiskey. It was really smooth.
So the new rule, I think, to be a gentleman, if you're hanging with Richie Byrne, if you're bringing a bottle of liquor, bring two.
Yes.
One so when you leave, they have one.
And the other for Richie Byrne.
So Richie can drink it like a fucking pig.
If you want to be a member of the Byrne unit.
So, well, Macallan's 10-year-old, go ahead, wood scotch whiskey. That's our new. So we're going to talk about a different drink every week.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I thought it was smooth.
It was great. After about two, I had enough.
Right.
I needed something cheaper.
After about two, Mark's pants were off.
Well, they were off before. You just noticed.
That's true.
I was running late to pick you guys up because I was supposed to
leave. Okay, can I tell you can't tell this yet.
Why not?
Because
it pertains to this
story. It's drinks, jokes, and storytelling. So now I'm going to tell the joke.
All right. I thought we could do it all.
We can do it all right. But I just think that we should get the joke. Am I wrong? You're the producer.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
And then we can go to why Mark Riccadonna almost didn't make it to Chuck's tonight.
Yes.
Which is a wonderful story about growing up in the hood.
From now on, when Richie starts telling a story, I'm just going to eyeball him and make a face like I'm disgusted.
Mark, I call that every day.
It's not going to phase you.
That's how you directed me in the boom. So the other format, because it's drinks, jokes, and storytelling, is I want to tell a joke. We should tell a street joke every week. And then
you
we
got
go
one
to the
for
stories.
Us?
I do. I have one. Old married couple joke. You like old married couple jokes?
Sure.
Old married couple been married 65 years. 65 years. They're driving along. The husband's driving. The wife's in the drive in the passenger seat. They're driving along. All of a sudden, they get pulled over by a cop. Wife loses her mind. Oh, my God, he's pulling us over. I knew this was going to happen. I knew you can't drive. I knew this was going to happen. The husband turns and says, shut up and let me handle this. Nice. Cop comes up to the window. He says, can I see your license and registration? The wife loses her mind. Oh, my God, he wants your license and registration. You're going to get a ticket. I knew this was going to happen. The husband says, shut up and let me handle this. Cop says, you know why I pulled you over, sir? You went through a red light back there. The wife says, I saw the red light. I knew you went through the red light. I knew this was going to happen. He says, shut up and let me handle this. The cop gets upset. He says to the woman, does he always speak to you like this, ma'am? She said, only when he's drunk.
I've heard that a few times, and I never realized where he's where she's going with that. You know what I mean?
She?
Not you.
Huh? Well, well, I could be referring to you.
That time I actually wasn't.
Tell the mom one.
No, next time.
Okay.
One joke. It's out of the way.
One joke.
I love how we went from you being mad that I wouldn't let you tell your story.
While we're here.
So now we did drinks, jokes. Here's why Mark Riccadonna.
Schmilfs.
Was almost late. Well, almost didn't make. What did you say?
Schmilfs. I didn't know Schmilfs. Until. I didn't know until tonight.
Yes. Schmilfs. Oh, we smoked cigars tonight.
Yeah. Oh, those cigars were nice by the fire.
Then it was freezing out, but we had Chuck had a fire going. It was two fires going.
Yeah.
It, so what a house.
And a waterfall.
There's
a waterfall.
And his food was
Santa.
How great was the food?
He's insane.
How great was
the filet?
Yes. We had stuffed mushrooms.
Yeah, with crab.
And Chuck said, take the mushrooms downstairs.
No. Take these drinks downstairs. There's mushroom stuff with crab waiting for you down there.
No, I carried them down.
No, the... Oh, you did?
Yes.
I thought his sister-in-law did.
No, I carried down the mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
This is drunk Joel, people.
No. No, that's what Chuck said to me.
Okay. It doesn't matter.
I was following instructions.
Good talk.
I was following instructions.
So we got them up. Joel and I were downstairs is the point.
I was upstairs with the ladies.
And with the ladies, there was two lovely ladies, Chuck's wife and his sister-in-law. And we were going to do the man thing downstairs. But Chuck was still upstairs getting the food done. And Riccadonna was upstairs telling the story cookies that he's about to tell. And I looked over and Joel was eating a mushroom. And he said to me, bro,
out of a baggie. He started
said,
tripping.
Dude, these mushrooms are great.
You gave me a look, yeah.
You have to try one. And I said, okay. I just thought we'd wait till everybody came downstairs. To which he said, what am I, a fucking animal?
What am I going to drink scotch like a fucking pig?
And then he said to me, good point, bro. Do you see any napkins? Because what'd you say?
I got a little bit of evidence on my hands.
I got evidence all over my hands. But the mushrooms are delicious.
They were insane good.
What was the steak? It was a
filet.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love when someone cooks a filet, but you see the big hunk of meat, and then it slices into the filets.
Yeah, that's why I didn't realize. I didn't realize it was a filet, because I don't think I've seen it that way too many times.
Well, Chuck used to be a chef, right?
Yeah, he used to be a chef.
Oh, the baked potato. I'm not a baked potato guy.
Me neither.
I could not get enough.
I wanted another one.
Oh, me too.
These potatoes were the size of Idaho.
Dude, yeah.
When they dug these up, Idaho dropped down an inch.
So it was serve yourself. We went upstairs again after the salads. It was like a
yes, we did have salad in case Dr. Oz is listening.
It was a parade.
Salad with...
It was a parade of foods.
It was ridiculous.
So when I took my plate and I got the filet on, and then I took the to get the prongs.
Prongs.
I should stop
Joe,
talking.
Joe, you have not
tonight.
Had the right word all night tonight.
No, for like the last 10 hours.
Could be the worst show we've ever done.
But anybody who's listening, if you're looking for a Christmas present for Joel, a late Christmas present, send him some of those pills like Mindful that help you regain your memory so he can remember the words he's supposed to say.
Well, just a thesaurus, so I know the words I'm supposed to be saying.
Yeah, thesaurus.
So, anyway, so I took the prongs.
Thongs.
No. Not thongs.
Trongs?
Anyway.
Tongs. They're tongs.
Thongs.
Mark, you were going to let us go all night.
Hey, I let you battle it out.
So tongs. It was so heavy.
It was so heavy.
That I couldn't pick it up. And I smushed the potato. And I make direct eye contact with Chuck. And he just lowers his head and shakes it and just rolls his eyes like, come on, dog. I slaved all day. Like, you're going to ruin the potato.
And now it's a mashed potato.
Yeah. Well,
guess who's on the naughty list.
Right. But we didn't.
So we almost were late.
And Rick Adonis sends me the text. He's like, I'm on my way. Text.
I go, dude, I'm so sorry I'm late. It's so my 2-year-old Duke was taking a nap. Well, he wasn't really taking a nap. He was spending some time in solitary confinement.
He was in trouble.
Yeah. Quiet time.
He beat the shit out of the 3-year-old with Harold the helicopter from Thomas the Tank Engine. And then as Axel was on the ground, he bit him in the leg, leaving a full bite mark on the back of his thigh. And so we had the, you know.
Now, does Axel fight back or does he realize he's younger and I shouldn't?
No, Axel would not hurt a fly. He's a pacifist. He loves. He's the happiest little kid.
He's a 3-year-old pacifist.
Dude, I think he already studies with Buddha.
Yes.
He studies with your boy, Deepak.
His name is Axel Chopra.
And if he gets married to Oprah.
Oprah Chopra.
Yo, that'll never get old.
No.
Never.
No.
So.
Nobody got that. Like, okay.
So we had to put him in his room. And he was like, you know, he's learning how to do time now. We tried to do all the other things and talk to him and all the parenting advice. But it's like, dude, you're just going to have to learn how to do time now. So I put him in his
room.
Who is
he, Tim Robbins?
No, he's Hannibal Lecter.
Yes.
So we put him in the room. He's crying, yelling for mommy, daddy. You can see his little hand going under the door, like, let me out, let me out. And we have to try to ignore it. So it gets
quiet.
That
must be brutal. I don't have children.
It's so hard. It's
Please.
So hard.
Does he do all that? Like
he
the
just,
kids?
You just hear him like, daddy. Daddy, whoever yells at him, he yells for the other parent.
Right.
Like whoever's scolding him, he goes for the other parent. So Angie put him in the room, so he was yelling for me. So he knows it's tearing my heartstrings. Like, oh, I could just go let him out, you know, escape from Alcatraz here. And then he gets quiet. But I hear in the monitor something going on. I think he's napping, so I don't think nothing of it. But it's almost time to go, and I have to help get him ready because Angie's going to take him to do something. So I open up the door. He figured out how to open his closet. The things are way too high for him to grab. He figured out how to open it up, and he pulled everything out of the closet, threw it all over the room. The entire room is just clothes everywhere. I go over to the sock drawer. He ripped his diaper off and pissed in the sock drawer all over all the socks.
Which is ironic because I'm going to do that later. I'm staying at Joel's.
So now that's like the equivalent of putting somebody in
solitary. I didn't
know
Duke drank McAllen's.
Shout out to Duke.
Shout out to Duke.
It's like putting someone in solitary confinement and then them shitting and smearing it on the walls. Like, at this point, we're not teaching a lesson.
But the thing that you said earlier was, you're like, how the heck does he know that's funny?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I got to yell at him, but at the same time, I'm like, I want to laugh so hard.
I'm so proud of him.
Like, how did he know just to piss in the sock drawer?
Right. Yeah.
Like, this will be funny.
If I get it everywhere, it's not funny. But this is humor.
Yeah. So now I have to take all of his socks, put them in the washing machine, and it's him and Axel's socks are in the same drawer. So now they don't have any socks to wear, and they're going to go to the library with Angie. So I'm like trying to get the socks in the washing machine. I'm trying to clean the room. I'm cleaning the drawer. I'm doing all that stuff and then looking for clean socks. So I had to go find clean socks. I finally found them, got them ready, got them in the car, and that's why I was late meeting with you guys.
Because his son pissed in the drawer.
Because he was like Miggs in Silence of the Lamb, throwing his body fluid all over the place.
Two boys.
Dude, it's rough.
Three, and they're 3 and 2?
Yeah.
So they must have loved Christmas.
Oh, my God. I posted a video.
Coming down the stairs.
Oh, we had it all set up so there was a train around the tree that they didn't know about. So as Axel's coming down the steps, he can hear the whistle. and the bell ringing. And he's like, I'm like, did Santa come? And he's like going down the steps all excited. He comes around the corner. And I just hit the button. So the train comes around the tree. And he's like, oh, my God, it's a choo-choo. And they both start dancing around the tree. Like, so it's funny. A choo-choo. And that was like the little present.
Right.
And they were like so content with that.
Yeah.
I could have just let them play with that the entire day.
Really? And so like, you shot them coming down the stairs? Because when I was a kid, my brother and I were a year apart. He's a year older than me. And but back then in the, 20s.
they had the old reel.
No.
Ricketana, why is
it like a box?
You boys, get down the stairs.
And you come down like Babe Ruth. The feet are going real fast, but you're moving slow.
But my dad had that camera where back then the light was like a light that you'd have in a studio. Like it was hooked to the camera. And it would be above him. So he had this camera and then that light. And every year and every video that my parents have, you see me and my brother in our pajamas. We get halfway down the stairs and we're completely
hit
blinded.
With lightning and fall down the stairs.
We would, and there's no sound because it's back before sound. But halfway
and
down.
And here comes the Burn Boys coming down the stairs on Christmas morning.
Halfway down the stairs, we'd both turn around and go back up. Because we had a pee. So my dad every year would go, oh, God. And you'd see us halfway make it down and then go back upstairs to go to the bathroom.
Well, you should have pissed in the sock drawer before you come down.
That's true.
Duke knows
the
game.
It is interesting that he waited till after Santa came too.
Yeah.
Because he's got a whole year to make up for that.
Richie now knows you so well that when he talked about when it happened with him and his older brother, he cut your legs out and goes, it was the 1920s. What do you have now to say?
Yes. Go ahead, Rick and Don.
Dude, so we got him Thomas, the superstation, and he couldn't take it out of the box because he opened it Christmas morning, but Christmas we went to my sister-in-law's, so he didn't get to play with it. So on the drive home, he's like, I want to play when we get home. I want to open the Thomas superstation. And it takes forever to set up, so I was just like, you know what, man? If we get back and you're awake, you can play with it. Well, he was out cold. Put him in bed. So at like 5 in the morning, he shuffles into our room. He just shuffles in and goes, Daddy, it's morning time. It's morning time. Let's play with the Thomas Superstation. I'm like, buddy, the sun's not up. You have to lay in bed until the sun comes up. So
that's brutal.
He crawls in bed with me, and I just let him sleep on my shoulder. And he sleeps. As soon as the sun came up, he goes, Daddy, the sun's up. So I got up. We put it together, all that stuff. Now, this morning, he comes shuffling in like it's probably 6 a.m.
Like a salesman.
Yeah.
He already knew his audience.
He knew it. He knew how to negotiate it.
Yep.
He tried not to wake up Angie. He tugs on me, so I wake up. As soon as I open my eyes, he goes, Daddy, you don't have to wake up. But can I play with Thomas Superstation? I go, of course you can, buddy. And he goes, could you come out and just put Thomas on the TV for me? I go, yeah. So I go out. I turn on the TV. I put on Thomas. And then I fall asleep on the couch while he's playing with it. He let me sleep. Didn't do anything bad. And then as soon as it was over, he come back over, wakes me up. Daddy, Thomas is over. Can you put another episode on? I'm like, this kid is a genius. Like, he knows how to play it, and he does it well. Then as soon as Duke wakes up, he comes in, he tackles the superstation, parts are going all over, he starts beating Axel with the helicopter.
Bites Thomas.
Did you and your brother fight really bad?
Never.
No?
All the time.
All the time?
All the time. And here's the funny thing, my mom only had a sister, and never understood that that's what boys do. So it always made her crazy.
Especially 4.
Yeah, but my older brother and I were, because we're only a year apart, she never got it. It was like, you would have thought that us fighting was like, how could this be? How could you possibly, it's like, this is what boys do.
Chuck's mom, or Chuck's wife was telling me that not to worry about it, because me and my brother fought really bad, and then we hit a certain age and just quit fighting.
Yeah, she had three boys.
Yeah, for me and my brother.
She has three boys.
And for me and my brother, it was 48.
But and she said, she goes, no, that's how boys bond. Like, as a mother, that's how the boys bond.
My mother never got that.
And what's crazy is I see it now. When Axel is doing something, Duke sees him do it, follows him every step of the way, does exactly what he does. And then when he gets it down, that he understands what they're doing, he then attacks Axel. Right. It's like, okay, I'm doing exactly what you're doing. I got it. Now let's fight.
Right. Now I'm going to kick your ass.
And now I'm going to... I'm surprised he doesn't pee on him. It's like a dominance
thing. I'm surprised. I think he probably has.
Well, tonight you were wearing your Dr. Oz jacket. Oz...
This is some segue, but yes. My Dr. Oz show jacket, yes.
Show jacket. And you were telling us at the Christmas party, because every year, or the holiday party, he gives out a present. And this year, he had something.
He and the producers.
And the producers.
Yeah.
He said something to you that he really enjoyed you busting his chops.
I really get on him. Well, you guys saw the show. I do the warm-up for the Dr. Oz show.
I love it so much that you guys have that kind of a relationship.
Yeah. Well, and
yeah.
And
it's really cool to watch.
Yeah.
I like really bust his chops. And he said at the party, he said, the audience really got into it today. Because you guys said that they get nervous.
They were hitting me on the shoulder going, is your friend going to get fired? Right. Yeah, I'm like, I don't think so.
Is he going to have a job tomorrow?
I forget what I was saying, but I was killing him. And then I said... And he goes, the audience really gets a kick out of it. And I go, well, it's funny because nobody does that.
Yeah, no other warm-ups.
And he said that, and the stage manager was there.
Which, why would he know that? Because he's only seen you.
Because Oprah didn't have a warm-up.
Right.
And, I mean, he's been to other shows, but,
he probably didn't pay attention.
So, Seth Melman, who's our stage manager, shout out to Seth Melman.
Shout out to Seth!
And Seth said, oh, yeah, I've done, shows... I never, the warm-up guy, you never make fun of the star. You build the star up. This is the only show I've ever seen where they're always, where the warm-up guy's just killing the star. And Doc was like, really? Because he goes, that's awesome. Like, he loved the fact that. So.
But then.
Is there more to this story? This is why I need Joel in my life. Because apparently I tell great stories and then forget them.
At the bar.
Oh, no, but not at the bar. But then you were talking about how. Oprah was on because you and Doc had this running. I was trying to set you up for that, but I failed miserably.
No, because I'm literally an idiot.
Richie doesn't know how to go full circle. So
because you and Oz you have that joking. So you
Oz and I, when Oprah was on the show years ago,
you banter back and forth.
We banter back and forth, and Oprah was on the show. It's the first time she was on the show.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, and Bear. We had meetings.
Right. Right.
You know, be careful about this. Don't say that. Don't do this. I mean, so I have this thing where I talk about Oz winning. He's won a lot of Emmys. I think eight now, seven or eight, whatever he's done. And I'm going, Dr. Oz won the Emmy this year, gave a great speech at the Emmys, thanked everybody. Almost everything. And I go, he thanked the director, he thanked the producer, thanked his wife, thanked Lisa. I go, I see Lisa out here every day. You guys ready for my husband? Like, I do this whole bit, right? And then I even say, I go, that's all right. You know, and at one point, Oz would go, next year, I'll thank you. Well, that year that he said that, Regis was retiring. And I would turn to Oz and I'd get like, and I go, no, it won't be this year. Because Regis is retired.
I'm taking the Emmys.
And Regis is going to win the Emmy. So the only way I get a thank you on the Emmys is if Regis thanks me. And I don't even know Regis. So this would go on. We'd have this. So Oprah's on the show. And we're in the middle. We're in a commercial. And I go into this bit. I don't even know why. And I start talking about it. And I look over. And as I'm in the middle of the bit, I see Oz... telling Oprah, like,
he does frantically this, trying to explain the bit.
Yeah, because Oprah's right, like, why is he getting upset? And he's so I'm in the bit and I go, so, I'm going, I guess, I never get a thank you. His wife gets a thank you, blah, blah, blah. And when it gets to the point where Oz is supposed to say next year, Oprah said it. And she just said it.
Perfectly in place.
Totally in place. Oprah turned and went, next year. And I turned and I went, no, it won't be next year. Because Regis is retiring. And Regis is going to win the Emmy. And the only way, and I realized that I'm screaming at Oprah. I'm yelling at Oprah.
Nobody's ever yelled at Oprah.
And I finished my...
Oprah's mother wouldn't even yell at Oprah.
And I finished the rant and I go, so I'm not... The only way I'm going to get a thank you is if I make friends with Regis. And Oprah turns and goes, okay then.
And out of a coincidence, your sister-in-law...
My sister-in-law was in the audience and she goes, waves me over. She goes, you do know you were yelling at Oprah. I'm like, I don't
know. Oh, my God. And if Oprah married
Deepak Chopra, her name would be Oprah Chopra.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
Last call.
Thanks for listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.